when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Charlottesville! Charlottesville, by God. Charlottesville, my dear Blood River Radio people, Blood River Radio family. Excuse me if I'm just really wound up today, but this is the 8th anniversary of that bloody battle, that battle in Charlottesville, Virginia, that yours truly was there. Most of the people that were coming on today were there at Charlottesville. But who are you listening to? You're listening to Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. We are proudly syndicated by Liberty News Radio all over creation. And as you'd like to know, today is, let me look at my watch, today is the 16th of August, and it's hotter than hell outside. And the 16th of August, in the year of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2025, there's no name under the sun which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ Almighty. He is the one that saved us in Charlottesville that day. It's over 8 years ago. We couldn't do the broadcast exactly on the date, but we're doing the best we can. And this will be Charlottesville month. And people, as you know, this is a Christian radio show. We have a lot to cover. We got a long ways to go, short time to get there. If you know, this is a Christian radio program. We have one of the original members of Blood River Radio. Without this man coming on here, there would be no Blood River Radio. It's that simple, cut and dry. And who am I talking about? I'm talking about Matt the Mo Goodwin, who is a Christian warrior. I love him like this youngest brother he is. He's a wonderful family man, and he's getting ready to take us. Like we said, we're a Christian radio program. He's going to take us to the Lord in prayer. So, Matt, go ahead and say hello to our people out there and do your thing, taking us to the prayer, brother.
All right. Hello, folks. I'm glad to be here today. Thank you for having me on, Eddie. I pray that everybody's doing well today. And let's go to the Lord and ask him to bless this broadcast so that more people might know the truth. Let's bow our heads, folks. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to speak truth and allow it to go out and be heard in the highways and the hedges, Father. I pray for the people listening to this broadcast that they open up their eyes, turn from their sins, and look to you as the author and finisher of faith, Lord. That's what your word says, that for those that have believed on you, that you are the author and finisher of our faith. And Father, we pray, just as you kept us through that battle safely in the day of Charlottesville, Lord, I pray that you'll look after our souls and look after our hearts going forward in this battle for our people, this battle for our kinsmen and their own livelihoods and their own futures and their successes in the future, Lord. Because this agenda, the satanic agenda that's attacking us from all fronts, Lord, it's just seeking to eat up and chew up and grind up as many of our people as possible. So, Father, we pray that you'll look out after our souls and look out after our hearts and guard us, Father, with your armor, like Ephesians says, that talks about the armor of God. Guard us, Father. So, Lord, we pray all these things in that most powerful name in all the earth. We pray these things in the name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who came a little over 2,000 years ago, a little under 2,000 years ago. So, Father, thank you for the blessings you've given us and opening our eyes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much. People, now you know why that's the man who needs to pray, and he did a wonderful job, and I can tell you flat out he means every word of it. He's a very, very sincere Christian. That I have no doubt. I've known Matt for many years now, and he's just rock solid. People, we always have to go to dear people. When I say people, I hope you know I'm talking to you like I would my own brothers and sisters and all my fellow Christian warriors. It's no slight whatsoever. We always talk to go to our donors after the prayer. We have one donor this week, Biscuit of Florida. Without Biscuit, I don't know anybody else like Biscuit. Biscuit is helping us with a project that we have that all of our people that we'll be sending out notices about what we're going to do. But Biscuit is really, really pushing it. He's really come to the forefront there. So I'd like to thank you, Biscuit, so much like we do all the time. He donates like clockwork every month. Without people like Biscuit, there would be no Blood River Radio. Dear people, our outline, it's going to be 3 hours straight of Seville. We're going to have different guests. We're going to have Jason Kessler coming up in a minute. He was the fellow who organized the Unite the Right in Charlottesville, Virginia. Unless you were there, you just could have no clue how the adrenaline flowed and how we were all affected forever by that. And listen, I'm going to tell you what, we got smarter people than me coming on to talk about that, but I'm just going to put in my 2 cents worth. I think the evil beast, Satan himself, reared his ugly head, so to speak. It was there for all to see. I mean, and it was seen worldwide how Satan is in control of these here United States. White people, white Christian men, beautiful young women, handsome young men, to the dismay of our Jewish-controlled media. They always like to portray white people, especially southern white people, and people that are proud of their race and are proud of their culture and are proud of their history and are proud of their relatives and their ancestors. They always like to portray them in these snaggletooth, uneducated, ignorant, just poor character people. But that was not the case. These people were beautiful. We saw some beautiful women there in the battle. I would not have had my wife or girl there, friend, for love or money, but who the hell would know what was going to happen? I'm going to make this short, people, but I'm telling you, we had gorgeous, beautiful men, young men, handsome young men. Matt Good was a young man then. He's still young compared to me. We had young, good-looking men, highly educated, highly dedicated. And that's what drove the this Jew media, the people, the deep state, the Satan that runs this country. He hates us. He hates those people. He hates those beautiful women, those beautiful men that were Christian. He despised them. And you know what? And he came out in full display. We saw all over the world. It was news all over the world. Me and Matt and other people in this program are coming on today. We were there. We participated in a gigantic watershed historical event here in the United States. And it showed there was no doubt who runs this country. It's the enemy of you. If you're white and you can't wake it up and realize that, then you're lost. If you couldn't see who rules this country on that day, then you're lost. And you know what? If you can't side with us and side with your own people, I have people, even my friends, that call me a racist. Well, by God, I'm proud of that. I'll tell you one damn thing. We might be racist, but we are not race traitors. And we are not anti-Christ. That's what we're not. And the people that call us racist, that's what you are. If you're white and you call us racist because of what happened in Charlottesville, then you are nothing but a traitor. You're nothing but a race traitor. And you're nothing but a bitch dog in my eyes. And so we're going to see, we're going to have other opinions coming on here. What happened? What was United States like the day before Charlottesville? What happened the day of Charlottesville? And what has changed forever since after Charlottesville? Matt, that's pretty much the bomb doors. That's pretty much my mate pump for right now. Matt, we got a minute or two for the break. We're going to take Jason Kessler on. And then Jason Kessler and Matt are going to pretty much commandeer this hour. I'll be saving my questions for if we come back from the break. Go ahead, Matt. Take it. We got about another couple of minutes. Go ahead, son.
Well, you're right. It was a watershed event. It was probably the biggest event of this last 20 years because men everywhere, all over the world, were calling us afterwards saying, did this happen? Did this really happen? Everybody's eyes were on it. They were all watching. But finally, white men somewhere stood up in a white person's country And we did stand up and say, no more of this, no more. We were there. And it scared them to death. It scared the powers that be. Like you said, these satanic people, they want to control everything in our country. And they were even, at that point, even trying to dictate the very words coming out of Donald Trump's mouth. And he messed up on the teleprompter and said something different. And I never will forget when he said, you know, well, there were good people on both sides. And they just excoriated him over that little saying. He just went off the narrative just a little bit, you know. And that's how much these people hate us and control everything. They control even the very words that your own president speak. And they excoriated him and hated him for that.
So, Matt, we have to take a quick break. When we come back, yeah. I want you to finish that. I want you to finish your diatribe, and then we'll go to Jason Kessler when you get through. Be right back, folks.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these this means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'd just like to let you know we got some big-time guests on here. We got Jason Kessler coming up here in just a second. He's the man who organized the whole damn thing. As far as Blood River Radio is concerned, he is the Hall of Honors with all the great ones. Also, we're going to have a man who suffered 7 or 8 years in prison because of Charlottesville. His name is Jacob Goodwin. Not to be confused with Matt Goodwin, but Jacob Goodwin did hard time in prison. He will be coming on pretty much at the bottom of the second hour. So anyway, with that little announcement out of the way, I'm going to go back to Matt Goodwin. He was on fire, and then as soon as Matt gets through, Jason Kessler is going to come in and take off. But before we go to Matt, Jason, just say hello to the Blood River Radio family.
Hey there, Blood River Radio family. Good to be back with you again.
So great to have you, Jason. You are a hero, my brand. You certainly are. Anyway, so back to you, Matt. Go ahead and finish up. You were laying it out there much better than I could, son. Go ahead.
Well, my point was that they even controlled the president's words. They tried to use the teleprompter and get him to speak the exact narrative that they wanted him to speak. And when he just went off just a little bit from that trail that they had him going down, oh, they excoriated him. The media hated him. All of a sudden, everything turned against Donald Trump. And if you want me to characterize sum up his whole first term, that's probably what happened to Donald J. Trump. But, Eddie, you were going off about race traitors. One thing we might not be is race traitors, exactly. I wanted to throw this point out there. All these Christian Zionists, you know, they'll read the Book of Ruth and see about the kinsman redeemer. But one thing, the Book of Ruth, and they'll read about the kinsman redeemer. But I kept thinking about that when you were talking, Eddie. I thought, there's no other race traitor than somebody, or there's no bigger racist than somebody that wants to see their own race exterminated, or is happy to see their own people suffer. There is no other racist like that racist. So, like, anybody that would call us a racist, well, you know, they can ship out of the country. I don't care about them. Anyway, we went on August 11th. We drove up from Nashville. There were five of us, Simon Rush, Gene Andrews, Eddie Miller, me, and Rich Hamblin. And we were going to this infamous Unite the Right rally started up by Jason Kessler. So it was about a 9-hour drive up there. And when we got there, none of us could expect what they hit us with. It was a complete orchestrated event that the city was in on, the police forces were in on, and they coordinated with communist legions throughout the country to show up and attack us and harass us and take away our First Amendment rights and even our Second Amendment rights, as one guy just went to prison after the event for just trying to defensively hold up a gun and fire it in the air. So you could name how many rights they took. They took probably our Fourth Amendment right. They were so many police there from all different angles, every police outfit and from miles away. Even the U.S. Postal Inspectors were boots on the ground there that day against us. So you could just go down the whole Bill of Rights and probably say they took all of our rights that day from us. So Americans were starting to wake up after that event. It was a watershed event. People had their eyes wide open. You know, that communist hammer and sickle just jammed into our throats and eyes ever since. So that Satan, it's, you know, what I look at it like, Eddie, is it's like Revelation when it talks about God releasing Satan and the demons. You know, that to me is what it felt like that day. It's like all of a sudden we're in a mob of demonically possessed people. Everywhere I turned where there was Antifa, these people were screaming out, contorting their faces. I mean, just, it was like harpies screaming out at you. Even men, I mean, I've never heard such high shrieks from men at me before. I mean, this was an awful day that I won't forget, but we were definitely in an assault situation where we were getting assaulted, and we just had to hold a line and be defensive as best we could. We were caged up in two cattle pens, and they tried to separate our ranks between the people that were, people that were more organizers of the rally versus people that were there for spectating. But what it effectively did was just separate all people who had any type of common ideology. They were trying to separate us completely. Then they locked us into that park, basically, surrounded us by Antifa, and then the police came out and tried to force us into the mob after they declared a state of emergency. Now, Jason, I'm going to kick it over to you as the man that led this thing. What do you have to say about what I just said?
Well, it's a really convoluted thing, and if people want the full story, they can pick up my book, Charlottesville and Death of Free Speech, which is available on dissident.press online. But basically, there were a lot of backstage shenanigans and secret room deals among the leaders of the Charlottesville government, possibly in conjunction with people at the state and federal level. People have to recall that about 2017 to 2020 was an incredibly radical period that even people on the left are kind of looking back and saying, this destroyed the Democrat Party because we went too crazy. And so we basically, at a time that everybody was afraid of saying the wrong thing for getting canceled, they were walking on eggshells if they were a white person. And instead of that, we came out and basically threw our middle fingers up and said, screw you, to all of that woke BS, you know? And so that made us villains to a certain part of the country. Like, at a time that they really had a lot of rage over the election of Donald Trump and so forth. And so the police would tell me one thing, and then they would go and do another thing. And the reason that things went back and forth is because you had this mayor, Mike Signer, and I heard that there's a new book out that says that he's not even really Jewish, that his stepfather is Jewish. But in any case, he identifies as Jewish, and there was a lot of anti-Jewish rhetoric coming from the alt-right. That's just a normal feature. And so he was very personally offended. And so he started reaching out to the ADL. The ADL put him in touch with the FBI. And he basically strong-armed the rest of the Charlottesville government because it's a weak mayor system. The mayor does not have ultimate power in the Charlottesville government. A city manager does. But he strong-armed these people into hiring this big law firm called Boies Schiller Flexner to find ways to cancel the permit and prevent us from demonstrating in that park. And the police had already come up with a plan, everything else. They told the police, no, we're not doing it in that park. We're going to cancel the permit, and we're going to fight them if they sue. So do not discuss safety in the park. So they said that they were going to divide the park up into, well, basically three spaces. The back, towards where the Robert E. Lee Monument was supposed to be a place for speakers and VIPs. And by VIPs, that just meant like security people, basically. And then the front of the park, the front half, was supposed to be all of the spectators. And if we did not have a permit, they said what they were going to do is have a division in the middle of the park and allow, I guess, the Antifa and the Democrats to be on one side, and then the Unite the Right supporters could be on the other side. So I was represented by the ACLU. We won a federal injunction in court. It was a pretty historic landmark free speech victory for us, and probably the biggest, you know, victory that the alt-right ever had in its day. But the problem was is that the government just ignored it. They not only left those barricades in place, but the Charlottesville police didn't show up to separate the protesters or anything. So it was basically sabotage to hurt the alt-right, because the alt-right had reached enough prominence that Hillary Clinton was talking about it. And then probably first and foremost was just to get revenge against Donald Trump and his supporters at a time, you know, where you got to imagine, like, the summer of 2020, where they tore down all the monuments and were rioting and dozens of people were killed by these savages. That hadn't even happened yet. So this was their first chance to really let loose their rage in a fury of ultra violence. And that's what they did.
Wow, and we felt that in full force, because that's exactly what they did. Anyone can go now and look at the overhead drone footage and just see just wave after wave of attacks from these communist agitators. So, right up to about 9:20, when they declared the state of emergency, some of us guys were looking for some of our leaders and figuring that they were discussing with city officials or something. About people need to understand that we were still planning on having a speaker, a rally, and different speeches from different speakers, even up till the state of emergency. Like, that was still in the plan for us. We weren't going there to get ejected out of a park and to become an international news story, but that's what happened. And so my question is, where were y'all at that last few minutes, right up to like 9 o'clock in the morning, roughly?
Right, Jason, we have to go to a quick break. We have to go to the bottom of the hour break. This will be 5 minutes. If y'all need to go use the restroom, get a coffee, whatever, you got plenty of time. It'll be almost a 5 minute break. Be right back, folks. You do not want to miss this. It's Charlottesville, by God. Be right back.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from Town Hall. I'm Jason Walker. The talks in Alaska may not have concluded with a ceasefire. However, President Trump says he and Russia's Vladimir Putin did make progress toward ending the war in Ukraine.
There were many, many points that we agreed on, most of them, I would say, a couple of big ones that we haven't quite got there, but we've made some headway.
And Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky meets with President Trump Monday at the White House. Former Trump Deputy National Security Advisor Victoria Coates says she understands why Israel is pursuing a military solution in its battle with Hamas.
I think everyone in Israel was horrified by those videos of the hostages emaciated, digging their own graves in the terror tunnels beneath Gaza. Time is running out for them. So the notion that you're not going to go in because something might happen to the hostages, I mean, we either get them out now or we don't.
And intelligence expert, retired Colonel Tony Schaefer, says anti-Semitism lies at the very root of many European leaders' belief in a two-state solution for the Palestinians.
And somehow these nations believe that giving some sort of a deference or recognition to Palestine, you're going to actually have a positive effect in helping Palestinians. I would argue it's the opposite.
Aaron has quickly become a Category 5 hurricane in the Caribbean, currently just north of Anguilla, winds up to 160 miles per hour. That storm is moving west, but forecasters say it should be turning northward in the next day or two and could affect several islands, raising concerns about flooding and landslides. Ongoing trouble in New Orleans. The mayor there, LaToya Cantrell, has been indicted in an alleged scheme to conceal a romantic relationship with a man who was her bodyguard. More on these stories at townhall.com.
We all know the importance of good daily habits, whether it's getting outside, getting your steps in, stretching those limbs, or eating right. Doing it on the regular is key. That's why if you're dealing with everyday aches and pains, it's time to bring Relief Factor into your life. Head over to ReliefFactor.com or give them a call at 800-4-RELIEF and get their 3-week quick start for just $19.95. Relief Factor is the daily supplement that fights pain naturally. Developed by a team of doctors, it uses a special formula of 4 natural ingredients. Relief Factor doesn't just mask the pain, it helps reduce or eliminate it. In fact, the longer you take Relief Factor, the more effective it is to get your days going without any pain. So you can get you out of pain by taking their 3-week quick start. It's only $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Simply call 800-4-RELIEF. 800-4-RELIEF. Wherever you're having pain, neck, shoulders, hips, knees, don't let it keep you from living the life you want to live. Make Relief Factor part of your daily routine. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Get ready to be part of something incredible. We're breaking barriers and delivering the powerful stories that mainstream media won't touch. Your support is what fuels our mission to revolutionize journalism and bring you the truth. Join our passionate community of changemakers by donating at libertynewsradio.com today. Together, we're creating the future of news.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're going to go right back. I'm going to make a comment before we go back to Jason. But I'll make a comment. You know, Matt is a Bible scholar, and he was talking about demons, Satan, and demons being released from the pit. Listen, all this stuff is in the Old Testament, in Revelation, probably. But I'm going to tell you flat out. I was telling Matt and Jason during the break, there was one particular stretch when we went through. You could actually, it was this odor. It was an odor I've never smelled. Not even, I've been around, I've seen more death than most of you people ever imagine. And I smelled everything you can smell, but this was a creepy, spooky odor. And look, I was, y'all, Jason and Matt, I was looking into the eyes of some of these people, and it's just like they were by God possessed. You were so right, Matt. You were not exaggerating in the least. Some of those people were just flat out by God demon possessed. But go ahead, Jason, take off, brother. I didn't want to hog up the show, y'all. Go ahead. Excuse me, hog up the broadcast. Well,
there were a lot of chemicals flying around that day, you know, besides the pepper spray, there was urine and feces, and I don't know, maybe the police had something as well that we could have picked up on, something that is not a normal smell. And then also, you just got to consider, I mean, some of the counter protesters were just like normal Democrats who were pretty radical at that time, but they're wealthy and clean. But you had a ton of Antifa there who are very marginal, let's say unconventional people. I mean, they stink. They live in squalor. They squat places. Several of these people have actually died for various reasons since the rally happened, because they're shooting themselves up with heroin. And, you know, I mean, God only knows what you could have smelled from that concoction of those chemicals, the urine, the feces, and the smelly hobos.
That is true.
I'll follow that up with one of those characters, the guy that hit Harold Cruz over the head, and he went down right in front of me. I was trying to tend Harold Cruz, and the guy they called the Do-Rag Goblin. That guy, they didn't know who he was for several years, and then he finally got discovered, and he was like a sous chef at some restaurant up north somewhere. I mean, and this, imagine these people that they're describing, Eddie and Jason are describing, imagine them cooking your food at a restaurant. Needless to say, with me and my wife and family, we don't eat out much, but, you know, they do. These people had a filth about them. And then, like you said, a lot of these people are transient, live in their cars. They're probably just running around and being agitators for a George Soros check or something that they get for doing this junk. Anyway, but it doesn't negate the fact that the government is the ultimate conspirator here. They were the ones that really set us up and sucker punched us. And I had asked a question, Jason, right before the break, and I really think the audience needs to understand that we were there to hear speakers. We were there for a rally and to exercise freedom of speech, and to enjoy each other's company that had a permit lawfully. I want to emphasize that right up until they sucker punched us with that emergency civil emergency order or whatever, declaration of emergency, right before they sucker punched you, Jason, with that, can you answer, like, were you still talking to the city the last few minutes up to that point?
No, I mean, that goes into a whole other narrative about what happened there, is that, look, the Southern Nationalists who were there, who came to support white heritage and the Confederate monument, they're solid people. And I have had nothing but good experiences reminiscing with them about this event since it went down. But there were a lot of bad, mentally unstable people in the alt-right, just like there were in Antifa. And so you had this guy, Richard Spencer, and his underlings, and they were trying to take control of the event from me. You know, like I thought that I could delegate responsibilities to people, but there was just like so much narcissism and egomania from certain parties that everybody, some of these parties wanted all the glory for themselves. And so they basically cut me out and were conducting negotiations with the police themselves. And that's really leads to my biggest regret about that day, is because if I could have done it over again, I would have been up earlier. I was overconfident because I thought I could trust these people, and they were, you know, saying stuff to the police that I thought, you know, completely contradicted what was in the best interest of public safety. So no, I didn't have any contact with police. But what I just said isn't to like absolve the Charlottesville police, because I mean, when you read my book, you'll see like all of the examples that are presented of where the Charlottesville government knew they were going to do what they did beforehand. It wasn't like they changed their plan at the last second because of something we did. It's just that these knuckleheads, for example, saying, well, we don't need police escorts for the speakers. Well, the police loved that because they didn't even want to show up at all, let alone do escorts for the speakers. And so they knew that they were going to pull the rug out from under us. And so all pretense of working with us had evaporated by August 12th. On August 11th, yes, they were still corresponding with me. After we won the ACLU case, I got a text from my liaison at the Charlottesville Police Department, Wendy Lewis, and she said, everything's a go. We were going back to the plan that we discussed with you. Everything's set. And it just wasn't. They lied, and they set us up.
And it was a sucker punch. Would you agree with that statement? That's what I would call
it.
Yes,
of course. It was meant to be. It was done with contempt. It was done with racial animus, you know, because the leaders of the Charlottesville government were either very far left white people who hate their own kind and any notion of white solidarity or pride. They were people who, whether strictly Jewish or not, identified as Jewish, like Mike Signer. And then you had the chief of police and the city manager, who putatively were the real shot callers, and they're both black. So you had these people who had a racial animus at a time when the racial animus in the country against white men was higher than it had ever been.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, I recently was on a forum, and people are still, this many years later, attacking Jason, attacking you, because they were saying, well, he came from the left and all this kind of garbage. But Jason, I've known you now for many years after this event, and you've stayed the course. You've towed the line of being making it clear what you stand for. So my question to you, were you a centrist kind of, or even a little bit to the right of center going into this rally? People, I want to say that people change, you know. People change their minds. I've even changed my mind about a lot of things over a decade, you know, in two decades, certainly.
I mean, I was definitely on the right, firmly on the right by the time of the rally. I mean, I once again, to reference the book, I have my full backstory for people who are curious about that. I don't have anything to hide about it. It's just that the left used to be something different. And a lot of the leftists now who are doing introspection after their failure in the most recent presidential election are saying, hold on, we got away from some of the things that made us strong in the past. And what I'm talking about is, you know, focus on economic issues, making sure that the little guy has a voice, being anti-war, being free speech. And so, yeah, I mean, it's just totally disingenuous to try and portray me as like I was somebody who was the opposite of what I am now. I still feel anti-war. I still feel like it's important for the little guy to get some representation against, you know, corporate power and government power and the mega rich and all this other stuff. You know, it's just that at a certain point around a couple years before Donald Trump came down that escalator in New York City, they ramped up the identity politics and stuff, you know, that the hatred of white people, the hatred of men, just pushing the gay stuff in your face constantly, like screaming at you. And none of that was what I ever believed in. Being a Democrat wasn't necessarily about being into identity politics back in the day. And then suddenly it became exclusively about that. And so that's why I switched over, because one thing was important, economics and being anti-war at the time of the Iraq War. And then it became about the culture war.
Jason, hold that thought. We've got to go to our last break of the first hour. We'll be right back. You guys are really doing excellent. I'm telling you, I really enjoy it. Be right back, people.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Step into the boots of the American West with Range Magazine, where grit meets grace. This is a front row seat to the stories, struggles, and triumphs of ranchers, farmers, and stewards of the land. From jaw-dropping photography to no-nonsense reporting, Range brings you the untold tales of life on the range. Whether you're a city dweller with a cowboy's heart or living life where the pavement ends, Range speaks to the soul of the West. Subscribe today at rangemagazine.com.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you have to say something. Dear Blood Group Radio family, this time is really going all too fast. Before we go forward, I'm going to ask Jason. Jason, if you will, tell the people how they could get that book, The Death of Free Speech. Tell them exactly how they can get it again.
The website is dissident.press, not .com or .net or .biz. It's dissident.press, dissident.press.
Thank you so much. That's one hell of a book, I'm telling you. I hope you can sell 10 million more of them. But anyway, I guess I should have taken us. Matt, I think you're next. I think we go back to you. I think Jason just got through the narrative. Let's go ahead, Jason. As a matter of fact, Matt, you were asking Jason some questions about how he was working with the system, the power brokers before he went in there. But I have one question. Let me ask just one quick question.
All right, you go.
just want to ask one quick question to both of you guys, and I'm bound the hell back out of the way. Listen, you know, there was a court order, a federal judge, not just any fly-by-night, rinky-dink, you know, Corn Lake, Mississippi judge, but a federal judge issued the right for us to have the right to free speech in Lee Park. So my question, I guess I asked you, Jason, you organized it. Why did that judge not, like, why could he not send federal marshals to arrest the mayor, the governor, the chief of police, all those clowns that interfered with us having our free speech? They disobeyed a federal court order. Why first, Jason, and then you, Matt, why did he not send federal marshals and have those people locked up?
Well, that would have been nice, but, you know, the political reality is that, you know, that woman died and the media only wanted to talk about that. And we were framed as the villains. There was no knowledge about whether we had a permit. The public wasn't even allowed to know about the violent counter protesters that were in the streets. You know, they thought it was just a one-sided, like, we filed for a permit and then we showed up and just beat people up instead of speaking or something totally false. So there just wasn't political will there. And in the court, a judge is rarely going to just go and do something because it's the right thing to do. You have to prompt them to do it with filings. And we had that when we had the ACLU representation, but after the rally, the ACLU dropped me and we had no way to, you know, try and hold the city in contempt for their actions. And I couldn't find any other lawyers. All of the movement attorneys who had been, you know, in my ear being supportive suddenly were running for cover, didn't want their names mentioned, didn't want to be anywhere near it. So I was left hanging, and there was nothing I could do about it.
I didn't know that. I'm glad you told us that. I really am, because I thought if it was a white Christian organization, white rights for people, if the shoe was on the other foot, if it had been if the left wingers, if the psychos, the Satanists had been or issued a permit, I guarantee double damn to you, if it had been an alt-right mayor, governor, and chief of police, their ass would have been in federal prison. But Matt, I was going to go back to you, and I kind of lost my train of thought.
This explains why years later people are still attacking Jason Kessler. Okay, because it was a setup, and everybody tried to distance themselves from everybody right after the event. So it just left people like Jason Kessler fully exposed, where there should have been people who would be there to have his back. But he was fully exposed, and he's received criticism ever since. But as I've maintained, people do change; they change their views, you know, and things happen over decades. It's not as cut and dry to say, well, he did this one time way back in his past, and that's him forever.
Well, it's just disingenuous to attack somebody for past politics. Did they do that to Donald Trump? Did they do that to Elon Musk? No, they accept them right away because they see them as an asset. They see Elon Musk as an asset. They see Donald Trump as an asset, and they have powerful voices, you know, that millions of people are listening to them so they can make their case. But when you're talking about somebody who is powerless like me, I wasn't really well known. Unlike the other folks, I didn't even have a podcast or a big YouTube channel or anything like that. I didn't have a voice. And so I became the scapegoat for everybody. I was, you know, in their minds, I didn't have anything to offer them except taking the blame. So they put it all on me.
That's a great point. And I will agree with you 100% that there were bad people on the alt-right who have fallen out of the scene ever since that event. And but in the wake of that, we've had some shining stars that have come up, like guy like Nick Fuentes. Okay, this guy, I've been watching his stuff here recently, and he was with us at Charlottesville, and I don't think he would be near what he is today without that event having affected his life. He saw it firsthand.
It's just such a shame that somebody with a platform like he has hasn't, you know, tried to expose people to the truth about what happened at Charlottesville. I mean, yeah, I don't think he's really tried to do it. And, man, that would be so great if somebody with that big a platform did it.
Yeah, that would be. And it would be really good if he could, if he would go down that path and expose those lies that have been told. I just don't know what his frame of mind was back then. I mean, here again, because my own perspective, I was about, 32, 33 years old then.
You were a kid.
Yeah. And
to me,
I still didn't have a lot of my views fleshed out yet. I mean, I was still working on things. Yeah, he and this kid, Nick Fuentes, was like, 19 or something, or 18. So I don't expect him to be a mouthpiece for us all. But it would be good now, in retrospect, if he would come out and do that. But what I wanted to say, my whole point is, one of the things, we kind of, maybe we lost the battle right then, but I think we kind of won the war, because a lot of the people that should not have been leaders in the alt-right, in air quotes, right, fell away. A lot of those people are now out of the way, and there are some people who rose up who are excellent mouthpieces, and so I'm just kind of sitting back and just watching the current state of affairs, where we are. The recent things that Fuentes has done, for example, I keep talking about him because there's some very important things he's done very recently, exposing gatekeepers and things. And this is what's going to push us and our cause right back into the mainstream and back into the limelight, because these people are that are gatekeeping, they're carrying away masses of people that would otherwise follow us and hear what we have to say. So what do you say about that, Jason?
I don't really like Fuentes, to be honest with you. I think he's a little rat. He was kind of the replacement for the alt-right. You know, I think a lot of the bigwigs got together, the bigwigs in the alt-right, I won't name names, but the ones with money and influence and cred, you know, basically said this thing was a shit show. We need to replace these guys. And some of them did need to be replaced. I mean, look at Cantwell. He just got arrested for selling meth. I mean, like, that is not somebody you want to be the face of a movement. It's embarrassing. You know, I think there's a broad consensus amongst a lot of people that Nick Fuentes is talented and is well-spoken and so forth. And so I think they decided he was going to be the guy, and they started, you know, getting him, you know, speaking spots at Ameren and different things to push him as the guy. They got the money people behind him, and that's that. But a lot of the folks who represented us in Charlottesville, they never really got a fair shake. They never really got a defense. They just kind of moved on and said, well, we're going to anoint this new generation of people.
Well, I'm not asking for your blessings on Nick Fuentes. I'm just telling you my opinions currently, right now where we are as a commentator. I really feel like he's kind of moving the ball a little further than any of those Richard Spencer or Cantwell could have done ever. I mean, they moved it
to a point. Well, he certainly has a lot of resources and influence, that's for sure.
Yeah,
I'll chime in here.
Who knows what sort of people are backing that? I don't know. I don't make the claim.
Well, you know, it's a mix of things. You know, of course, you have people who are alt-right types, but I go on different websites to get news. I go on Drudge Report sometimes because that has a mix of, you know, kind of left and center left and stuff. So I'm kind of in touch with what the other half of the country is saying. I guess Drudge Report used to be a conservative website during the neocon days. But anyway, Matt Drudge, who is a gay Jew, promotes Fuentes all the time, links directly to his stuff because he's attacking Trump.
Well, guys, unfortunately, we run completely out of time, but you said the magic word. Anytime anybody goes to Ayn Rand, and he's a big star there, you can automatically know he's a rat. people, that's we've done completely out of time the first hour. Jason, I would really like to thank you. You've broadened my heart. You always have a place here in Blood River Radio. All you have to do is call and let me know. You can always come out. Matt, I think you knocked it out of the park tonight, brother. I think you might have had the best show you've ever done. And people, Matt, hang on for a minute after we go. Do Blood River Radio. People will transition to the second hour. We're going to pick up Ben Walker, and about halfway through the second hour, we're going to pick up Mark Tommies. So hang on with your seats, people. Be right back.